Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So also, if someone sold a horse, but he gave me 1% as a down payment, if I go, I cannot take the horse and say this is mine because I've already received some of the payment of it. It has to be 100% nothing. I found my table, I found my car, I found my horse, and I did not receive anything for it so that I can claim it. But if I received any part of the payment, then I would be like them. It has to go again into the percentage quota. This is almost everything that comes to mind. So if you have any questions, we open the floor to the questions, inshallah. Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum, sir.
My question is that suppose I gave a loan, some amount to a person A, and in return he gives me his animal, whether it be a cow, a sheep or any. So under my custody, that animal becomes pregnant and it delivers the baby. And when it's time to return, when it's time to close our deal, so who do the baby belongs to?
The baby belongs to the owner, because anything that comes out of that thing that you had, the benefit and any progress takes place, it is the owner's lawful right.
It has been impregnated and delivered under my custody.
Yes, that is. Even though it is considered to be part of his own, this was only to be pledging to get your money back. So what you are benefiting now becomes part of riba. The Prophet only entitles you, alayhi salam, to ride it if you feed it or to milk it. But to invest on it is not permissible, because this diminishes the value of the thing kept with you. And scholars give an example. If I give you my flat, my apartment, as a pledge or a mortgage, so that you guarantee that I pay you back my debt, they say that it is not permissible for you to put it on rent. It's standing. Why not utilize it? Renting it would reduce the money, neither for you nor for the owner. It has to be as it is, because the value would go down. If he did not pay back your debt and you want to reclaim your debt from that apartment, the value is less when it's occupied than when it is empty. And Allah knows best. Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum, sir.
Sheikh, many years back, I lent some amount to a brother. Not a big amount, it's a small amount. And it is so many years I'm asking him. He said, yes, yes, you know, I'll give you next month. Now, I'm also fed up. Now, you said punished. I cannot go to the authorities because the amount is not a big amount. But still, I am also adamant that I want that, you know, because it is a loan which I have. So do I use force? Do I give him a midnight knock at his house or use force? Or if I see him having money in his hand, shall I snatch it from him? Because I am fed up. Thank you.
Okay. First question is, do I use physical force? And the answer is no. It is not permissible in Islam to take what is lawfully yours by force, because then we would live in a jungle. Even if you're living in a non-Muslim country, you must not take what's yours by force. That is why we have courts. That is why we have police. So you have to refer to them. If it's negligible, then khalas. If it's not negligible, then go to the legal way of taking it. The second question, which is snatching the money from his hand, again, this is using force. However, there is something similar to that in fiqh, and that is what they called in Arabic al-dhafar. Al-dhafar, which means that to win something. And they give an example. If I want money from you, and I keep on going to you and saying, Akhi, give me my money, and say, inshallah, tomorrow. At the end of the day, you say, Akhi, you want how much? 1,000 euros? Do you have witnesses? No. Do you have any documentation to prove it? He said, no. He said, go. Do whatever you want. I'm not giving you the money. So the man is clearly and openly saying that he's not giving it. How can I get my money off of him? Even if I go to the authorities, they say, give proof. No witnesses, no documentation. What do you want us to do? And as I'm walking, I saw my friend he dropped his wallet. And I look around, nobody's looking. I take the wallet, and mashallah, there is 5,000 euros in it. This is called a dhafar. You win it. So scholars say that if there is no legal implication, you're not going to be prosecuted, you're not going to be thrown into jail, no one will accuse you of stealing, you may take what's yours and leave the rest. Now, most of us would say, yes, 1,000 euros is my right, and 200 for damages, and 300 because of the depression and the medication, and one other 1,000 because of the time. No, this is haram. You only are allowed to take what you can. So there is no physical force used, and this is something that is not even considered to be stealing because this is lawfully yours. So I hope this answers your question. Any more questions? Yes, Akhi.
What is the difference between Ar-Rahan and Ina?
What is the difference between Ar-Rahan and Al-Ina? Again, Al-Ina is a trick on riba. It is considered to be selling and buying something. Ar-Rahan has nothing to do with selling and buying. It is simply to authenticate, to guarantee that the person borrowing will return back the money. And I'll give you an example. This is my device. And you come to me and say that you're willing to lend me money in a twisted way. I'm in need of money. So I come to you and say, can you give me 1,000 euros? And you said, no, I can't. Because if I give it to you, I have to receive it 1,000 as it is, and I'd like to invest my money. But I'll give you a better offer. And I say, yes, what's your offer? You say, I'll buy this from you, cash, for 1,000 euros, providing that you buy it back from me for 1,500 euros in installments over a year. Okay, so what appears to be an innocent transaction is actually riba. What's happening is like this. I give you this device and I take from you 1,000 euros cash, which I need the money. And then I take it back from you, I buy it back from you for 1,500, 100 euros for 15 months. So actually, this is still with me. I did not sell it and I did not buy it. It's still with me. What happened is I took 1,000 euros for 1,500 euros in installments. This is riba. And this is aina. The transaction is called al-aina. Al-rahin is completely different. Al-rahin is when I borrow from you 1,000 euros and I keep the device with you. In 1 month time, if I don't give it back to you, you have the right to sell it for 3,000, 2,000, and get your 1,000 euros, and then the balance, the rest, you give it back to me. This is the difference between the two. I hope this makes sense. Yes, Akhi.
For example, if we give a loan to someone, and he gives his cow to us in mortgage, and if it is inflicted with some disease, and we pay for its medical, so do we add the medical amount to the loan?
That's a good question. If the cow that I have as a pledge or a mortgage falls sick, if I don't treat it, it will die. But if I treat it, it would cost me money to pay for the vet. So who holds responsibility of the cost? As in the case of the baby that the cow delivers, and the brother says, yeah, it's mine. He says, no, it's not yours. It's the owner's property. Likewise, the money has to be paid by the owner because this is part of its welfare. Otherwise, it would die on my watch and I should not bear responsibility for such a thing. Yes.
Without being unfair, like if I go to the market and if I want to sell it, I'm not getting a best price, but I'm just worried about my 1,000 euros. So I'll sell it off 4,000 because I'm not getting the best price.
Again, this is something between you and Allah. You try your level best to sell. It's not your mistake that he did not pay on time. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.